The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.' A voice says, 'Cry.' And I said, 'What shall I cry?' All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, 'Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the second letter of St. Peter, the third chapter. "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel comes according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ask the average person on the street what Advent is, and they'll tell you that it's a headache medicine, because the world has pretty much forgotten about Advent. For most people, we are in the Christmas season, or the politically correct holiday season. People think that the 12 days of Christmas are the days counting down to Christmas from December 13th, but they're not. They're the 12 days after Christmas that culminate in Epiphany. So if the world is confused about what Christmas season is, it's little wonder that they've completely forgotten about Advent. So let's forget about their answer. Lutherans still know what Advent is, so let's ask them. And if you ask the average Lutheran to explain Advent in one word, that word would probably be waiting. We are waiting for Christmas. We are waiting to burst forth in joy. We are holding back our celebrations until Christmas Day, waiting for the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's not entirely wrong, but it's not entirely right either. Advent is certainly a season of waiting, but not just to celebrate Christmas. Advent also draws our hearts to when Christ comes again on the last day. It's not just about waiting for Christmas, it's also about waiting for his final arrival when he comes to carry us to our heavenly home. But it's not just about waiting either. Waiting kind of implies that you're doing nothing. Waiting for the bus, you're just killing time on your phone. Waiting for a movie to start, you're just sitting there reading the screen trivia. Waiting for a table at Applebee's means you're milling around outside hoping the magic flashing coaster buzzes. Waiting is kind of passive, kind of non-involved. You're not really doing anything related to the thing you're waiting for. You're just waiting. And that's not Advent. Advent is not a season of sitting and doing nothing until Christmas gets here. Yes, we are awaiting Christmas and Jesus' second coming, but we're doing more than just waiting. We're preparing. And there's a big difference between those two. Waiting for company to arrive means that you're just chilling on the couch, keeping an eye out for their car. Preparing for company to arrive means you're cleaning and getting things ready. Waiting for supper means it's just a matter of time before it gets onto your plate. Preparing for supper means you need to get those plates out and set the table. Waiting for Christmas means you're just kind of coasting through life, hearing some readings and hymns to get you into the Christmas mood, counting down the days until something important gets here. Preparing for Christmas, in worldly terms, means putting up the decorations, getting the snacks baked, wrapping gifts, actively getting ready for Christmas celebrations. But of course, that's not the kind of preparing that Advent is about. Advent is about spiritually preparing for Jesus' arrival, spiritually preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and spiritually preparing for when he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Throughout Advent, in fact, throughout our entire Christian life, we are not just waiting, we're preparing. And preparing means making some changes, some big changes. When Jesus comes again, what will he find in your heart? Will he find anger and vengeance against your enemies as you sit back with glee and hope that they are condemned when he returns? Will he find a love of the world and its wicked ways as you lament the fact that God is destroying all these things that you love and that the sin that you enjoyed won't be in heaven anymore? Will he find a disregard of God's word and a desire to follow the world instead? Will he find that you've twisted his word around to fit your own personal desires and wants, to fit in a little bit better with the people around you? Will he find greed, grudges, gossip, lust, envy, hatred, murder? Advent is a time that we need to know of. Advent is a reminder that the time that we spend waiting is not just to sit and stay the same. The changes in our service during the season of Advent, they remind us of the changes that we should be making in our lives. John the Baptist, when he came to proclaim the advent of Jesus' public ministry, his message was not, "Jesus is coming, but don't worry about it, everyone. As you were, it's all good." No. He boldly proclaimed that our sinful hearts needed to be prepared. Our mountains of pride needed to be laid low. Our valleys of depravity needed to be raised up. Every day of our lives until Jesus' return is a day of Advent. Not just waiting for Jesus, but a day of active preparation to receive our Lord. We should be in his word, hearing that gracious message, hearing the word of God, even when it offends our sinful lives. We should be receiving his sacraments, reveling in our baptism each and every day, receiving his body and blood that he so graciously gives to us here in the church. We need to let God's word change our lives. We need to let it plow out all the ruts of sin and shame that we've grown so comfortable in. Just because your neighbor is more of a drunkard than you are, that doesn't mean you're not sinning. Just because everyone else is having sex outside of marriage doesn't mean that it's no longer a sin. Just because the world approves of and promotes all manner of greed and lust and debauchery and filth doesn't mean that God has changed his mind. The grass withers, our culture's morals fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Unchanged, unchanging, eternal, and perfect. We need to hear that eternal, infallible word and honestly evaluate our lives and our choices, and then genuinely repent of our wretched sin and beg God for mercy instead of pretending that everything is a-okay with us and everything that we do. We need to wake up from our spiritual slumber and prepare our hearts and our lives, not just being Christian in name only, but actually letting our faith change us and affect the plans and the choices that we make. We need to stand before God not in pride and arrogance, assuming that we're really good people, so God needs to love us, but we need to stand before him in humble contrition, realizing that our sin is deserving of eternal condemnation in hell. We need to acknowledge our sin, not just by speaking the words of confession every week or so on autopilot, but by truly knowing and understanding God's word and recognizing how pitifully short of its perfection we fall. We need to stand in respect and awe before the one true and triune God, creator and ruler of all things, and rend our sinful hearts, repent of our wicked ways, and seek his will instead of ours. That is how we are prepared for Advent. That is how we are prepared for when Jesus returns again. And when we do these things, we know that God will indeed properly prepare us for his triumphant return. It might hurt. It might involve some serious changes in our lives as we cast away the deeds of darkness, the sins that we've grown comfortable with, the sins that we've let define us, the sins that we assume are fine because everyone else is doing it. We need to let God's word convict us of that sin and drive out our desire to cling to that sin any longer. And don't be fooled. It is not easy. We might lose friends as we turn away from the sinful desires that other people engage in for fun. We might lose popularity as we take a dissenting stance against the tide of filth and wretchedness that our culture is content to drown in. We might lose, gasp, money as we recognize that just because living together or cheating on our taxes or refusing to help those in need might be financially advantageous, it's sinful and wrong and is forbidden by God. We might lose a lot. But truly, we've lost nothing, as we will gain the eternal paradise of heaven. Because in the end, it's his preparation, not ours, that truly makes us ready for his advent. We do need to change our sinful ways and prepare our hearts for Jesus' return. But no matter how many changes we make, we can't do it well enough to deserve heaven. And so as we repent of our sin, we rejoice that in his mercy, Jesus Christ has made the most astounding preparations for us sinners. He was willing to come to us while we were dead in our transgression. He chose to sacrifice his holy life to cleanse us of our sin, suffering and dying on the cross to spare us from the eternal hell that we deserve. He rose again from the grave to give us the guarantee of everlasting life in heaven with him, as we are united with him in his death and resurrection by the waters of baptism. And his patient grace, it gives us ample opportunity to hear his word, to turn from our wicked ways, repent of our sin, and receive his free gift of salvation. And so, this Advent season, don't just wait for Christmas. Prepare. Prepare your heart and your mind to welcome your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Prepare your life as you hear God's word and truly let it change you. And not just during Advent, throughout your earthly life, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Gladly hear the precious word of God instead of the lies of the world. When you let God's perfect and eternal word shape you, then every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Don't just wait for Jesus' return. Prepare and rejoice in the ways that God prepares you. Rejoice and take part in his precious word and sacraments that he so freely and graciously gives. Rejoice that his ways are far better than anything this world can offer. Rejoice in his law, even when it convicts you of your sin and shows you your need to repent and change. But above all else, rejoice in his precious gospel, by which we are truly prepared for his glorious return. Rejoice that by his cross alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of all of your sin, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen. And now that peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.